In the early 1960s, John Proformo was previously a highly decorated army officer, was appointed as the UK Secretary of State for War, a rising star in the Conservative government. But in 1963, it was revealed that he had an affair with Christine Keller, a young woman who was involved also with a Soviet naval attaché. The scandal rocked the nation, raising concerns about national security and moral failure at the highest levels of government. Proformo initially lied to Parliament about the affair, something deeply serious in British political culture. When the truth came out, he resigned in disgrace. His political career was over. He was publicly shamed and retreated from public life. But here's where the story turns. Proformo didn't vanish into bitterness or denial. Instead, he went quietly to work at Tony B. Hall, a charity in East London serving the poor. He very quickly applied his skills learnt from a career in politics to fundraising for the charity. Over time, he became a trusted and respected leader at the charity, and along the way raised huge amounts of money to support their work. In 1975, he was honoured by the late Queen for his service to society with a CBE. Commentators seem to agree that although he was someone who had made a terrible mistake, he was also somebody who showed much remorse. And he even managed to restore some of his honour through his dedication to charity work. It has even been remarked that he did far greater work after his public failure than he ever did before. Proformo was someone who had failed publicly. His mistake had seemed to cost him everything. And if it were to be summed up in a single word, then that word would probably be shame. That's exactly where Peter was from our reading this morning in John 21. He had denied Jesus Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. Something he promised he would never do. And now the resurrected Jesus shows up, not with condemnation, but with breakfast. And with more than that, with restoration. For Peter, failure isn't the end. Peter says to the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." This isn't just for fun. He's going back to what he knows. The last time Peter had seen Jesus, he had denied him. So it could be seen that Peter was returning to his old life, to something that he knows well and could find comfort in. But I think it may be wrong to say that Peter was just burying his head in the sand or running away. The disciples had been told to return to Galilee and wait for Jesus, and so he had been obedient in this. Their fishing trip ends after a whole night with trying to fish and yet of catching nothing. The circumstances are reminiscent of the events that occurred when Jesus first called the disciples. There also Peter was told to recast his nets to the other side, and there also a divine catch was also brought in. This then was not only a display to show that it really was Jesus who had returned, it really was him who had returned from the dead, but it was a powerful tool to remind the disciples of that first call to mission when Jesus had said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will fish for people." The calling upon Peter's life was not over. God was still calling him to be a fisher of men, to go forward and to preach the gospel of Christ, crucified and risen. There's a temptation when we fail in life that we give in, perhaps returning to what is known and to what we find comfortable. But here in these passages are a reminder that as followers of Christ, failure is never final. Jesus comes and meets us where we are. And so as morning breaks, Jesus is standing there on the shore. The disciples don't recognize him at first. We're told in the reading that he's 100 yards or so away and tired as they are from a night of fishing. It wasn't until Jesus tells them to throw their nets to the other side of the boat and the subsequent miracle that the penny drops. And as John declares it, it is the Lord. Peter, as always, is the man of action and he immediately responds. Jumping into the water still clothed, he rushes back to Jesus like the prodigal son who returns to his father. Here on the same shore where they first met Jesus, where Peter answered, Jesus is called to be a fisher of men, Jesus now restates that call to mission. Jesus' death and resurrection have not been an end to that calling. And in fact, it would now be what drives them to go into all the world. It is the good news that they would now share. Peter, who is filled with guilt and shame, finds Jesus. And instead of condemnation, he finds forgiveness. After breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter and says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? We don't know for sure what is meant by these. Perhaps Jesus means the other disciples and is here referring to the time that Jesus boasted about how he loved Jesus more than they did, about how he would never betray Jesus. And so perhaps he's asking Peter, do you still feel this way? These could also refer to the nets of the fish, to his past way of life. Does Peter love Jesus more than his old way of life? Would he leave that behind and follow Jesus, even if that means he would lose his own life? Peter replies to Jesus, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep is Jesus' reply. If you love me, then go forwards as a leader of the church. Respond to the call. Jesus repeats the question, asking it 3 times, and in doing so, Jesus is healing the guilt and the shame of the 3 denials made by Peter. And in this encounter, he is being recommissioned. I'm sure as Jesus was asking these questions, Peter's gaze would have turned to the fire upon which the fish were cooked. And memories of another fire would have come to his mind, the one in the high priest's courtyard, where Peter had been warming himself when he had denied Jesus those 3 times. But failure is not the end. Peter is restored. Likewise for us, failure is not the end. We follow a God who is merciful, who forgives and restores, a God who loves us. After this, Peter does something that is so human. He looks at John and he says, what about him? Jesus replies, what is that to you? You follow me. It's very easy to compare ourselves to others. But here Jesus reminds us that the calling he gives to us is between the individual and to God. We don't need to worry about what others would do, but rather our focus should just be on following Jesus. Peter's ministry would be so different from John's. Peter would become that prominent leader and preacher who goes on to be a martyr. John, on the other hand, would pass on the message of Christ through his writings and will be given glimpses of revelation and would live to old age, imprisoned on the island of Patmos. Both of them deeply loved by God, but with unique callings. Jesus saves us not so we can compare ourselves with others, but he saves us so we can follow him. Peter may have failed, but God meets him there, forgives him, restores him, and calls him again. And this is the good news, the gospel that we follow. God does not love us because we are perfect, but rather he loves us even though we are not. It is a love so great that he would die for us. And like Peter, we find ourselves forgiven, restored, and called. Amen.